All right, Bailey.
What's up?
Top three favorite indie games. Go.
Hotline Miami.
Hotline Miami. Yep.
Thomas Was Alone.
Was Alone. Okay.
Having Trouble Thinking of a Third Indie Game.
Having Trouble Thinking of... Wait a second.
Welcome to episode 24 of One More Podcastle, which has now lasted 15 episodes longer than my previous podcast, Guess What I Stepped On Today. My name is Eric Bailey. I am not sure what to think of toothpicks, and I'm the editor-in-chief of onemorecastle.com.
I am Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer where it is raining freeze.
My name's Jason Lamb. I'm the resident Canadian, and I won't be here next week.
Aww.
That's right. What's going on? What are you doing again?
I'm going to England.
What? What? Why?
Why?
To England.
Why, though?
Why?
To ascend to the throne.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm visiting my family.
The royal family, and yes. I'm going to assassinate them and take over.
Yes.
Nice.
Therefore, ascending to the throne.
I got a feeling that Jason's going to be on the news in about a week.
Oh, yep. Hey-o.
Keep your eyes peeled.
Get us some big-time news exposure for the podcast, right?
Yeah.
You just see him. I see him on the throne. One more castle! OneMoreCastle.com!
That may not be the publicity we want, now that I think about it for 3 seconds.
I'm just going to rename the Royal Palace that.
Oh, there you go. Nice.
Buckingham Palace. Now it's One More Castle.
There we go.
Very nice.
Sweet. That's a fantastic marketing plan.
Wait a second. You didn't like it before. You can't just jump on the bandwagon now, you bandwagoner.
You're right. I am kind of flip-flopping, aren't I? I'm flip-flopping the bandwagon. I'm just flipping it over, man.
Flipping and flopping.
Flopping that. Wagon bander. Well, we're going to miss you.
I'm going to miss you. Be gentle to whoever replaces me.
We'll try. Just so our listeners know, we do have a replacement lined up. We have a special guest. I won't say who yet. I'll let them make the grand introduction themselves. But it's going to be tough to be gentle on a newcomer. Like, I kind of want to be vicious. And
I'm fine with that as well.
Okay.
Cool. Well, this is actually a first for me. Usually it's me as the one who's out. So now I get to have the little special guest come hang out.
True.
It'll be fun.
Because, Hunter, you've been absent twice, right? Because once was me, Jason, and Andrew, and then one time you were gone for Thanksgiving. Because I was gone for Thanksgiving, too.
Wait a second. Didn't we do... No. Jason, were you... Yeah, you were absent when you were down...
before.
Yeah, when you were down in Cuba.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, we're really bad in terms of attendance.
Yeah, we suck.
We're 25 episodes in, and we've missed 5 episodes. So 20% of the time, we're not here, if you like fuzzy math.
Excellent.
It's math you can cuddle up to.
And we have our episode title. There it is.
fuzzy math.
Math you can cuddle up to. Ding. There we go. I really shouldn't do it vocally. That kind of ruins it.
No, you should just be like, Hunter, do the thing.
Okay. I'll do that. I'll whisper real quiet next time so only you can hear me.
I will be prepared.
Be prepared. You know the song from The Lion King? Be prepared.
Yeah. Was that like the first Lion King?
Yeah, that's all I can think of.
The only one that matters.
Amen. High five for Jason.
I don't remember that song.
Well, go watch the movie again, because whenever someone says be prepared, it immediately leaps to the forefront of my mind.
All right, I'll be back.
Right. Like a lion?
Or a hyena in this case, yes.
Yes.
So speaking of hyenas, you guys played any vintage video games?
Vintage video games. I've been playing Super C.
Ooh.
It's Super C is one of those games that I guess I kind of just skipped over when I was younger. Because I used to play Contra for the NES all the time. And then when we got the Super NES, I mean, Contra 3 all of the time. But Super C was one of those games that I just kind of skipped over. So I decided to kind of pop it in, see how far I can got, which wasn't very far. But it's got some neat elements to it that Contra 3 kind of picked up on and made better, I guess.
Yeah, like the overhead parts.
The overhead parts are really good. The bomb that destroys all the enemies on the screen is really neat.
Oh, yep.
The levels seem to be really short. I don't know if that's just me, but I don't really recall the original Contra levels being short. Like, I'm cruising through levels in, like, 5-6 minutes and getting to a boss.
Yeah. I bet it's even less than that if you time yourself, because I think you're right, they are a little shorter. But do you get the sense that it's more challenging at all?
No, it feels easier.
Okay, interesting. Because on the last level of Super C, there's that part where the ceiling comes up and down.
Didn't get that far.
Oh, wait, how can you say you feel like it's easier if you haven't even beaten it?
Because I died a couple of times. What do you mean?
Well,
I never beat Contra 3. That game's hardcore.
Okay, okay. Well, fair warning. When you get to the final level of Super C, there is a part that is so frustrating, I think on its merits alone, you can make the argument that it's more difficult than Contra.
From just the one level?
You said you didn't want to be spoiled, so I won't explain it. I think a couple listeners might know what I'm talking about. But yes, there's one very specific part that is rip the hair off your head hard.
Yeah, but does one level speak volumes for the entire game?
I think it can. Yep. I think another example would be the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game on NES. Everyone remembers the one underwater level where you have to disarm the bombs and a time limit, and there's that seaweed you can't touch.
Right.
People hate the game because they hate that level. I firmly believe if that level weren't in the game, that game would be remembered better, fairly or unfairly. That's just what I believe.
Yeah. Okay, so I could probably agree to that in terms of, like, Ghosts and Goblins.
Okay.
Where the game's a ton of fun to play, but it's just the small fact that you've got two hits and you're dead, and there's... I mean, yeah, there's unlimited continues, but, you know, maybe just a little life bar would help.
Yep. Well, you know? Also the fact that they make you beat it twice. That was obnoxious.
Yeah, but, I mean, who really does that? Because the ending's terrible.
Yeah, even the real one. It's like, oh, text, thanks.
Totally not worth it. And everything's misspelled.
But I think I will agree with you that one level shouldn't determine a game's reputation. But even as someone who believes that, I look forward to seeing what you think of the final Super C level.
Well, if you recall, I'm not the best gamer. So if I don't make it, I'm going to have to watch a video and then lie that I beat it.
There's a modified version of the Konami code that gives you 10 lives instead of 30. Have you tried using that?
No, I don't. Nope.
Okay, try that. See how far you can get.
Oh, now I got to cheat.
Oh, okay. I understand.
If I'm going to do that, I'm just going to whip out my Game Genie.
Yeah, Game Genie. Do you remember the commercials for Game Genie?
Oh, those were awesome.
Oh, man, I felt like you would plug this thing into your game and you could do anything you wanted. You could jump where you wanted, get weird new items, unlock whole new levels. It was so deceptive, really. Granted, it was still pretty cool.
For a while there, there's a bunch of tutorials online that you can find that to make your own Game Genie codes.
Yep.
And it's not like the Game Genie codes, like, okay, well, you can get 6 lives, now you can get 7. Like, it's... It's like, let's screw everything up. All the sprites are funny looking.
Oh, yeah.
The music's all jacked. And I remember doing that with the original Mortal Kombat. and just the weird stuff that would pop up on screen, because there was a bunch of weird crap in the code to begin with, you know, like the witch going across the screen and Santa Claus and all that stuff, and then being able to like change the music completely and like do like a, what do you call it, like the introverted picture of the graphics and stuff, like that was awesome. And then like writing them down, like, I just found the coolest code in the world.
Then you'd and show then, your friends and they'd be blown away.
And then realize that somebody figured it out like, you know, 5 years ago. So
that too, yeah. Hey, Jason, do you play video games? How about you?
I do. Cool. I've actually been playing Lunar Lander.
What?
Lunar Lander for the Atari.
Do tell, yeah.
You've played that, right?
It sounds familiar. Is that the one where your ship has to? It's gonna sound really stupid. You have to land on a planet.
Yes, pretty to, like, much. You have to land on the moon.
Oh, is this where like where you control like absolutely everything?
And there's gravity, and you fire your thruster, and
you're
literally just firing
your thruster.
Yeah. Okay.
As you hurl towards the planet, and there's point modifiers depending on where you land.
Okay.
I die a lot. Let's just go that way.
I feel like that's one I have played. Maybe never came back to after trying it.
I'm just going to go on a limb and say that that sounds really boring.
It's very simple. It was released in 1979.
It does demand high precision gameplay. You have to admire that. Yeah.
Even if you land successfully, you might land too hard and then knock out life support, which pretty much just kills everyone.
I would say that doesn't count as landing successfully.
Yeah, I don't think it does either.
Still gives you points.
Oh, well.
Well, there's a team of 12. One guy's going to make it.
That one guy.
Yeah, so it's been pretty good.
So, wow, Atari, yeah. Huh?
Atari. Mind you, I've been playing PC ports, because I don't have an Atari, but
I posted an HTML. I got two extra ones if you want it.
Whoa! Can I have one of them?
Yeah.
Because I used to have one, but...
I got an Atari 2600 Junior, and then the old Atari 2600, like just the wood box, the original,
yeah,
like the first release.
The wooden paneling station wagon VCS.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
I've posted an HTML5 version to my Twitter. So if you want to play it, you can play it there.
Oh, you've been playing the HTML5 version?
That's one of the versions I've played.
Come on, Jason.
What?
What are we doing here, man?
I've played a Flash version and an HTML5 version.
What are we doing here?
I don't know.
You should know that Jason wrote an entire article on One More Castle about how HTML5 can potentially revitalize certain vintage games.
Or you could just go out and buy them.
Ah, yeah.
That won't that always too. Be an option. I mean, I think there's...
Yeah, I already have my computer.
Meh.
I know.
All right, this
I'm sorry, Hunter.
This is... What? I just died. You just crashed a $100 bazillion lander? That's not even a real number. What?
Are you playing during the podcast?
No.
It's all right, I was too. Yeah, go to my Twitter, HTML5 version. It's not 100% accurate, but it's an HTML5.
I'm going to play a game. Twitter. Start a podcast.
Why can't I move? I'm just landing. What is this called? Lunar Lander? I mean, come on. I crashed again? This game sucks. Let's move on. Bailey?
Huh? What?
Hey,
playing a game here.
Oh,
you want me to participate in the podcast? Okay.
I'm a little busy.
I don't know why I'm in this mood, but I've been going back to the NES and playing games like competitively and trying to get new high scores on them. For instance, there's only been a few people who have been able to break the 100,000 point barrier in Marble Madness on NES. And I want to be someone who does that. Still haven't gotten there, but I had a whole conversation with someone on Facebook and we were exchanging strategy and it was really cool. And so yeah, it might be a boring answer. I've been playing Marble Madness, but there you have it. I've also, though, been training for Hunter's Punisher Challenge. I'm making excellent progress, might I add.
Getting so much slack for that.
As you should. You should get flack for that and slack for that. So, but yeah, I'm confident I can put up a Let's Play video that should do pretty well. Just so you guys know, we got a new listener email discussion question. This one sets the new record for the shortest one we've ever received. This is the shortest email that One More Castle has ever gotten.
So short answers only.
Okay, we'll do it concisely. Here it is. In general, what do you like the least about retro games? That's from Chris Owens.
Availability.
God, I feel like I'm in Jeopardy.
I know, the pressure is killing me. That's a great question, Owens.
What is?
How about how most of them are not good to play? Can we go with that?
Yeah. A lot have aged very poorly.
I love the NES, but when you sit down and really look at the hundreds upon hundreds of games, even at the time, many of them were bad. I mean,
yeah.
Just bad.
I do have to agree with availability, though. Like, there's some great old games I wish were still available, but due to compatibility or whatever, you just can't play them anymore.
Yeah, and can I even lump price in with that, Hunter?
Oh yeah, I mean, because you know, when they only makes, you know, so many thousands of copies for whatever reason, the price is definitely going to go up regardless of how popular it is.
Yeah, because like one example is Earthbound. That is an amazing game, but you can't find a copy for cheap anymore. It's just not going to happen. Although you have to kind of take these answers beyond face value, because it sounds like we're saying that retro games suck. They're too expensive and you can't find them. But those are the worst elements of retro games. We think
is that not what we're saying? I'm confused.
I'm just saying, hopefully they're still worth it. I mean, some are rare, but that means getting them just makes them all the more worthwhile. And yeah, some are expensive, but that means it's nice when you go to a flea market and you buy a handful for a few bucks and discovers one of them is worth 20 times more than you paid. And yeah, most of them suck, but that makes it all the more wonderful when you find a true diamond in the rough. A gem, if you will.
See, I think there's a flip side to that, too, because like some of these retro games are so cheap. You know, like I've got countless games that I picked up for like 99 cents or, you know, $2. And I just get them because they're so cheap. And then I bring them home and play them and they're crap. And it's like, oh, I just wasted my 99 cents. Yeah. I'll just put it on the wall with the rest of them.
There you go.
But I
just wish. No.
No. Go ahead.
I think just with the industry as a whole, they don't spend a lot of time trying to preserve these old games. They're kind of deemed disposable after a while. Like, you won't be able to find a certain game that was maybe popular in 1980, like really popular in 1986, because it was popular in 1986. They've just gone, we don't need to make this available in any format. No one wants it.
Yeah. That is kind of a sad viewpoint the industry has. Like, oh, done with that generation. On to the next. Screw you guys. Yeah.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about money, and that's fine. I work for a living. Yeah, it's all about money, you know, but there are still that small percentage of people who do want to play these games for whatever reason, you know, nostalgia, or I can't think of another reason other than nostalgia, but not at least trying to cater to that small group of people. Yeah. Like, to me, that's a slap in the face, because a lot of time, Nintendo is a perfect example. I honestly don't think they would be the company that they are in terms of magnitude and just sheer dollars in the bank without people like us, you know, getting a NES on Christmas or, mm-hmm. you know, constantly going out and begging for a $50 game, you know, back, you know what I mean?
I do, yeah.
Because, I mean, like, Atari's not around anymore.
Nope. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, it's kind of upsetting. Like, me and Jason were talking a little bit before we got started, and we were talking about how the PlayStation 4 is not going to be backwards compatible with the PlayStation 3. And I vaguely remember, I don't know if it was Sony or Nintendo or Microsoft, but I thought that they were talking about re-releasing older games, retro games, basically, with updated graphics and music and sound. Like, that's mm-hmm. what you should do. It's like, it's not that these games are bad. They just don't look as good as they used to. We've got the technology to rebuild them and to make them stronger and faster. And
I'm honestly surprised they haven't done a subscription service in a way. It's like an a la carte, almost Netflix kind of thing, where here's access to all these old games.
Yeah, and
give us $15 a month, and it's all you can eat.
It's all you can eat. Yeah. And I don't honestly think that it even impact current sales, because, like we're saying, many of these games haven't aged that well.
But that's one reason not to charge people $15 to buy them. Just let them pick. Hey, here's 600 decent to okay games to pick from. Yeah. You can play as many as you want per month.
Hey, and there's a great marketing strategy behind that, too, because it's like, if you buy the new Metal Gear Solid and you just breeze right through it and, like, you want to see where Metal Gear Solid got its start, boom, here you go. Mm-hmm. It's a free download.
Yeah.
Ah, if only.
Someone should do this.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for somebody to be like, you know what? We're going back to cartridges.
Hey, there's talk that with the new Game Stick and with USB drives, we might see something more like a cartridge someday. There's murmurs. I can't put much stock in it myself, but some people are saying that we're actually moving closer to cartridges now than ever before.
I think I'll go pure digital before that ever happens.
I agree.
See, I think that's the disconnect for me, because I don't want digital. I want physical copies. I want something that I can hold in my hand. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like holding stuff in my hand, but digital does appeal. If I had a really nice gaming rig, digital would totally appeal to me.
I think it's also good from just a preservation standpoint.
No, that's the opposite of preservation, though, because you're not preserving the physical media.
Even just the game data.
Boom!
Damn.
What you got now, Mr. Man?
I've got a gaming PC.
Now we're talking about two different kinds of preservation. I mean, there's value in that kind of preservation, yes, but I think there is also value in, like, arcade cabinets. There's so many that are just dying and lost, and it's tragic to me, but what do I know?
I'm just a gamer.
Whatever. So, yeah, great question, Chris. Thanks for sending that in. And anyone else who wants to send in a discussion question that we might talk about, can send an email to podcast@onemorecastle.com. In the meantime, let's take a music break. Welcome back. That chippy track was Super Fantastic Turbo Magical 2-Player Love Game Adventure Called Happiness by Pixelhate. Not only does he do high-quality chiptunes, but he also makes his own retro-style games. So check him out, Pixelhate. Download it on the podcast page if you like it. Or if you don't, whatever. And now, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
And if you don't know what the Retro Showdown is, I'll go ahead and explain it for you. We each have secretly chosen a retro game. We have not told each other about it. Each of us will have 1 minute to introduce it, and then we're just going to argue about who picked the best game and why. But the most fun part is that you, the listener, can interact by voting in a poll on the podcast page. We always have a lot of fun with that, so please vote, leave comments about it. It's always a good time. And just so you know, 2 episodes ago, over episode 22, guess who won? Hunter with Rolling Thunder!
Wait a second.
You beat Batman Return of the Joker on NES, and you beat Jason's choice of Marvel vs. Capcom.
There's no way.
Yeah, it's true.
Which episode was that? 21?
22.
22. I can't count.
Why?
Okay,
I don't believe it.
Number one, it is difficult to believe because Rolling Thunder is so monstrously average, but number two...
Good grief. It's never going to stop.
Number two... I will say our biweekly Nintendo 64 columnist Tom Hall kind of led a crusade to convince his Twitter followers to vote for the game. So there's kind of some ballot stuffing going on. So I'm not sure whether to give him kudos or condemnation for that. But hey, the numbers are the numbers and Rolling Thunder won. Good work, Hunter.
I think the more disturbing thing is that Batman Return of the Joker actually beat out Marvel vs. Capcom. That's mind-boggling to me.
That is
democracy
interesting.
Is flawed.
It's true. People are idiots. When you rely on a massive group of them to make decisions, you're only going to get in trouble.
All right, well, I will take my win.
Does that mean the Juggernaut is back?
Oh, the Juggernaut is back. I didn't go anywhere. He's always been here.
Gotcha.
In hibernation, because it's winter and all. So.
It's true. It's getting cold out, guys.
It's raining freeze.
That sucks, man. I hate it when it rains freeze.
He's everywhere with his freeze gun and his I'll be back and all that stuff.
He's so cool.
All right, everyone, just chill.
That's cool party.
Sweats an egg. He's so funny.
He is that guy. Batman movies.
Worst Batman movie ever.
Yes. I don't know. Batman Forever was pretty bad. Like a lot of people immediately go to Batman and Robin as the example of the worst, but I'm not sure that it's worse than Batman Forever. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm biased, and I'll tell you why. I am a huge fan of Tommy Lee Jones.
Like,
I think the movies that he's in, that he's actually the starring character, or not mm-hmm. the co-star, mm-hmm. he's actually better. Like Men in Black, like he's yeah. awesome in Men in
That's
Black.
That's true.
And I thought he played a really good Two-Face.
Okay. How about No Country for Old Men? What'd you think of his portrayal in that film?
Never seen it.
Hunter. Yeah.
Oh, jeez. I can keep going. You want me to keep going?
No, I don't, actually. Right. I want you to go watch No Country for Old Men. Tell me yeah. what you think of it.
Never seen the Godfather movies?
I'm not. I'm deprived, too. I can also list classics I've never seen. Casablanca, never seen it. Citizen Kane, Gone with the Wind.
I have a film degree, and this is killing me.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'll tell you what movie I have seen. Clueless.
If you cut it in half, you get a better movie. Clue.
Oh, I love Clue.
Clue's
That's
so good.
Such a great movie. All right, what are we doing? Oh, jeez.
Right.
Yeah.
Retro time games.
Jason is the official timekeeper, so Jason will give me 1 minute whenever he's ready.
All right. Are you ready?
I'm as ready as I'm going to get, Jason.
You can start.
Tonight I've chosen, again on the NES, Sky Shark, published by Taito in 1989. This is a vertically scrolling, military-themed shoot-'em-up set in World War II, in which you fly your P-40 fighter through some very challenging levels, both overseas and on land. Not only are you contending with ground elements and vehicles there, but also planes in the sky, in formations, or just big ones on their own. There's even boss battles with enormous craft. It's an arcade-style game for high score, very challenging, and downright wrist-crippling in the amount of rapid-fire technique you're going to need to survive.
Seconds.
Sky Shark.
Sky Shark. Those were the NES?
The yes. NES, yes.
Nice. Are you ready, Hunter?
Yeah, does anybody else do that? I don't do that. It's NES. It's an acronym. Who says yeah. NES?
Dorks. Stupid.
Oh, that
no,
drives
that
me insane.
Drives me crazy.
Ugh.
Like, no Star Whatever. Wars fan would call an AT-AT an AT-AT, you know? That's so dumb. You don't call your SAT
yeah,
test a SAT.
Transport.
Yeah, but you only know it's called that because you call it an AT-AT, not an AT-AT.
Yeah, it's an acronym.
Yeah.
What would you call the all-terrain scout transport? Because in Return of the Jedi, it's an AT-ST. Would you call it an AT-ST?
I don't know. What would you call the AT-PT?
The AT-PT! I would call it the AT-PT.
I would also call it the AT-PT.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, it's my turn. I'm ready.
All right, you can go.
All right, my pick for this week is Space Channel 5 for the Sega Dreamcast. In it, you play as Ooh La La, a newscaster for the Down on Its Luck Channel 5, covering the news of an alien abduction. These aliens are not only taking people to do their own doing, they're making them dance. It is your job to slam dance these aliens to break their hypnotic spell over the human race and gain TV ratings. The better you dance, the better your ratings. This is a rhythm game where you must match the dance moves and to continue forward. Throughout the game, you meet new characters that are trying to steal your popularity by challenging you to a dance-off, which in the end creates new areas to unlock. It's Space Channel 5.
15 seconds.
Space Channel 5! Space Channel 5!
10 seconds.
Are you serious? All right. It's Space five. Channel 5.
2.
Nuts!
You're out of time.
Space Channel 5!
All right. I guess I'll begin. My choice for this week is the 1993 DOS game Ken's Labyrinth. Built by Ken Silverman, who would go on to create the build engine used in Duke Nukem 3D, this game features you going through several labyrinths to find your dog Sparky. Fighting monsters such as bats and spiders, the game is notable for having interactive sprites and textures, a money system which can be used to buy items in vending machines and slot machines, which you can gamble the money to gain items. The game was released in 1993 by Epic Mega Games and is a great example of an early 90s shooter. Gen's Labyrinth. Find your dog.
Wow.
Ken's Labyrinth. Yeah. Find your dog. You guys pick some weird games.
This is just this is another very ugly game.
Okay. Ken Silverman at the time was a teenager when he built this?
No.
So what you're asking for is a pity vote.
No, I'm saying that he was a teenager, did all the graphics by hand, sent out a demo to various publishers, and then was hired by Epic Mega Games to go on and work on Duke Nukem 3D.
You know what? I'm not impressed by handmade arts. I'm only impressed if he does it with the back of his head.
I would also like to see that.
Me too, actually.
Creating art with your hands is just too easy.
Yeah. I'm sorry for disappointing.
Okay, that's kind of cool, though. That's a pretty neat idea. Yeah.
Had stuff like interactive textures, which was crazy for the time. Walls were destructible. There were actual windows where you could see through things, unlike Wolfenstein. The money system, you could collect coins to buy power-ups or unlock secret rooms. It was pretty ambitious for a teenager.
What did he use to program this?
I'm not sure. Let me bring it up. It was his own custom engine. Like he built it completely from scratch.
He used his
hands.
Yeah,
then it was his hands.
I was actually gonna guess his feet. Actually, that's what. I would have been wrong.
Yeah, you would have been wrong, Hunter.
Is he throwing a dodgeball?
No, you're attacking with gum, actually.
With gum? Wow.
With gum.
Are you throwing it or spitting it?
I think you're spitting it, to be honest.
That's weird, Jason. Like, that's really
odd. You're playing as a kid who's finding his dog.
Is that how you spent your kid years? Spitting gum at people until they gave you your dog?
No, spitting gum at bats.
Oh,
and giant
okay.
spiders.
Forgive
and
me.
And assassins.
In a labyrinth.
Yes.
Okay.
Ken's labyrinth.
Okay, so what's the definition of a labyrinth?
A maze?
Is that what it is? It's just a maze?
It's my understanding, but I'll wait for Jason to actually
definition?
Look up the dictionary.
I am.
What does Oxford have to say?
It says an intricate combination of paths or passages in which it is difficult to find one's way or reach the exit.
So a maze.
A labyrinth.
That's a maze. Okay.
Synonyms. Maze. Network. Web.
Why would it be Ken's labyrinth? What? I mean,
Ken
if
made
he
it.
Lost. Well, that's the thing, though, is if he lost his dog in his own labyrinth, what? Why would he do that to himself? Why would he punish his dog like that?
That is a good point.
No.
See, he doesn't want his dog back. He built this whole labyrinth trying to get rid of his stupid dog.
It's the evil Zogarian has threatened to destroy the Earth, but now he has gone too far. He's captured your dog.
No, he hasn't.
Is that going too far, capturing somebody's dog?
To this kid, it is.
He has enslaved the entire human race, destroyed everything mankind has made. But now that he has stolen your dog, he has gone too far.
The only weapon that you need is gum that you will spit on him.
The entire ceiling is one color.
As is the floor, just a different shade.
Both of them shades of human excrement.
The bats blend in great.
The bats blend in great.
Bleep, 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 bleep.
Whoa. Do the spiders have faces? What is this?
They're mechanical spiders.
Oh, that's weird. Ooh.
This game's kind of making me sick.
They don't have faces, so that's good. Yeah, I'm going to throw up any moment now.
Very impressive. See, again, this is a tech demo. I wouldn't call this a game.
No, it's a game.
and yet still,
rescuing your dog.
Still more visually appealing than Space Channel 5.
Oh, that is absolutely incorrect.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Did you say that's absolutely correct?
Incorrect. Incorrect.
It is inside the realm of being absolutely correct.
Yes.
No, that's not. No, that's not what I said.
It is in right. Within correction.
The graphics in Space Channel 5 are pretty sweet polygons.
They are polygons. That is for sure.
And you get to play as a chick with purple hair.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
That's fine. Whatever.
You know what I love about the Dreamcast?
Everything? I agree.
What, Jason? What do you love about the
As soon as you describe one of their games, you can tell it's a Dreamcast game.
Amen to that.
Wait, whoa,
crazy,
what?
Wacky Dreamcast style.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just because they did something
space
new?
Space person, ooh la la, who's a reporter.
Just because they did something new and innovative? What?
You know, doing something
no.
new.
No, I want the same bland games over and over again. Kind of like Sky Shark.
Yeah. Whoa!
The same bland vertical shooter.
No.
Slow scrolling. The bullets are as big as the airplane.
Now you
are
shoot.
1942.
No, 1943. Nope. Oh, wait. Darn. Wait a second.
1942 takes place almost entirely over oceanscapes. In Sky Shark, you actually fly over the land for most of the game.
Oh, so it's green difference. Instead of blue?
Darn
exactly.
It, Jason. The pixel art is a lot more distinguished than that. There are totally like a couple dozen colors at work.
And totally undistinguished colors. Sprites and with colors. Very
Look,
fun.
The NES palette only had a few dozen colors, so for them to use so many on the land, there's browns in there too, guys, and greens.
So you're telling me it's almost as colorful as something designed by a teenager in his parents' bedroom?
Ouch! Why is he programming in his parents' bedroom? That's a little weird.
They own the computer, I'm assuming.
Oh.
It was hard for a teenager to buy a computer in 1990.
So you're just assuming.
I'm assuming.
Okay.
Well, either way, you know, Sky Shark. Yeah.
It is kind of funny how that teenager was supposedly so brilliant and yet couldn't manage to program in the 6502 assembly language required for complex games on the NES. Booyah. Also, Hunter, can I say something about Space Channel 5?
Did you just say assembly was advanced?
Forgive me. It's difficult. How about that?
Because it's crap.
Yeah, but it's hard to do.
Oh, it's hard to do because it's like doing four times the work as programming in anything else.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I can't be. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But Hunter. Space Channel 5. I'm wondering what Jason will say about this, but I can't help but watch this game and feel like I'm kind of a perv.
Whoa. What? Why?
Like, have you seen the skirts these girls are wearing? That's kind of weird.
It's like 300 years into the future, man.
How old are the girls, though?
They're of legal age. Yeah, you're a perv. Jeez.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's like one of those pervy Japanese game shows.
All right, this is getting weird.
This conversation. The game made us go there. Look at it. I'm watching this girl, and I shouldn't be watching her. I mean, this is weird.
The game is rated E for everybody.
But should
everybody?
It's kind of exploitative. You could say it's sexist. Maybe the argument could be made.
No.
Yeah.
I disagree.
Well.
So is this a rhythm game?
Yeah.
Oh, those are good.
Yeah, rhythm games are great.
No, they're not.
Sure they are.
No, they're not.
No.
There's tons of popular rhythm games. Guitar Hero.
You know what else?
They're one of those franchises that come around every 10 years and just
blow it out of the water, yeah, but with amazing gameplay.
And then
die
a horrible death.
Yeah, diarrhea is popular. It doesn't mean it's good.
Who said diarrhea is popular?
I just did. Millions of people.
I need something to back that up, man. Like, that's I want to take
a
poll.
If you have diarrhea, you don't need anything to back it up. It's
let's take a poll. Jason, do you think diarrhea is popular?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Well, hold on. It's popular in the term that it's widespread.
I'm just like, it's just a yes or no question. Don't go into detail, man. Just give me a yes or a no.
A definition of popular is of representing or carried on by the people at large.
Will you get off that dictionary?
Well, you get
originating
off that dictionary.
Among the people.
Oh, diarrhea, definitely.
So let's. Popular. So Sky Shark is so bland that they actually repurposed the player sprite as enemies.
Kinda. That doesn't make it bland.
That's lame.
Kinda. At least Jason's pick has diversity.
Yeah.
And that was made by a 17-year-old.
You know, 17-year-olds do lots of things. It doesn't mean they're great. Give me, like, is there any actual gameplay quality to it?
Oh, Ken's you face bosses and there's puzzles.
Okay, give me one example of a puzzle from Ken's Labyrinth you have to solve to continue the game.
That's a good question.
Let me guess, you've never played it.
I have. I haven't played it since about 1994.
1985.
And it was probably better than Wolfenstein.
What?
I played it more.
That doesn't make something better. To go back to Bailey's defense of diarrhea, I mean, I've diarrheaed way more times than I've been the King of France. It doesn't mean that it's better.
All right, you have to find keys, open so doors, true. Throw switches.
You know what I would rather do? Fly a fighter plane and shoot everything in sight.
Wow, you named just about 100 games that was released on the NES. What one could you possibly be talking about?
It doesn't matter, because I'd rather play any of them than Ken's Labyrinth or Space Channel 5.
You know what I love about Space Channel 5?
It's amazing and fun.
Is that it rips off the band D-Light.
Now that court case never came to fruition, okay?
Listen.
I tell you something you can do in Space Channel 5 that you can't do in Ken's Labyrinth or Sky Shark, and that's save
sickness?
Michael Jackson.
I thought you were going to say wear knee-high socks.
So wait a second. You're trying to distance Space Channel 5 from any hint of perversion. So you're going to throw Michael Jackson into the mix?
Whoa, man. Also, was not it was acquitted in court for that. What is going on here?
Okay, anytime two different points of defense for your game involve phrases like, well, he was never actually convicted, or, well, that court case never came to fruition, your game has some serious issues, Hunter.
I disagree. I cannot be a video game cannot be held accountable for one person's actions later in life. I'm sorry. If that were the case, then we should be praising Jason's game for the creation of Duke Nukem 3D. And I'm not going to do that. Are you?
No.
There you go.
They actually released the game with Duke Nukem 3D as well.
Oh, wow. The Duke Nukem 3D came with a coaster? That's awesome.
That was pretty good. Your very own coaster.
You're welcome. We've got tons of these. We can't get rid of them.
A 17-year-old made him. Ken's coaster. People say he's brilliant.
We think he's Looney Tunes. The game tells you what to do. There are literally walls on the wall that says, shoot this wall. Okay, say a single word three times in one sentence is a little confusing, even for me.
Not only that, but at least in Jason's game, it makes sense. In Space Channel 5, they completely redo words. Like, instead of saying loading, it says roboting. Like,
that doesn't make sense.
The loading screen has a robot saying roboting. Yeah. Roboting. That's stupid. That's dumb.
I think it's clever. I can't stand loading screens.
But you can stand roboting screens.
it's something so different to be like, oh, it's, well, that's
not different,
neat.
Though.
Sure,
it's
it
the
is.
Same thing. It's just a different.
Pick another game that says roboting when it's loading the game.
It's still a loading screen, my friend. Still a loading screen.
But they were trying something different. It's not like Sky Shark, where it's just a remake of 50 other games.
It really is.
You want to talk about a game that is overly average? Oh, thank you! Thank you so much!
Dang.
Okay, then let me borrow your defense of Rolling Thunder that won the week you picked it. And I quote, "What's wrong with average? There are tons of fans of shoot 'em ups, especially in the military-themed subgenre. Sky Shark is considered a classic. And if I can say a couple quick things, number one, its gameplay is actually more refined than some other ones. Like, if you play 1942 and then play Sky Shark, Sky Shark, obviously a better game. And number two, it was released fairly early. I mean, mid-1989? It can't be ripping off tons of other games when many of those other games released after it and were inspired by it, my friends.
Well, I can say that at least Rolling Thunder had more than 5 levels. That's all. I'm just going to throw that out there.
You know what the worst part of this is? The video I've been watching has been of a game called Flying Shark, not Sky Shark.
So you're not even looking at the right game.
Wait, no, the games look so similar.
Sky Shark is even uglier.
It's not ugly. It looks good.
Flying Shark. Well, let's just see what he's got. Let's see what's going on here.
All right. Hunter, your like... game has robots with the Japanese flag on their chest. I'm not judging that good, bad, or indifferent. I'm just pointing that out.
Okay. Wow, Flying Shark does look good.
Yeah, it's from 1987.
It's a lot smoother animation.
There's textures.
The plane looks pretty cool.
Probably because it's an arcade game, guys. Chill out.
And the bullets are not as big as the airplane, which makes sense in my head. It's the same. This is the exact same game.
It is.
That's so funny.
It is. It's the exact same game.
Holy cow, that doesn't make any sense. Oh, okay. Flying Shark was the arcade. Sky Shark was they renamed it for the U.S. version.
Right, yeah.
Duh. What? Why'd they make it look like poop then?
Well, you can't...
I don't know.
It looks great, but you can't seamlessly transition the arcade experience to the home console at the time. That's why arcades are so cool.
But even the airplane sprite looks... The complete design is different. Like,
yeah.
I wonder why they did so much revamping of it. I mean, I know the NES wasn't a powerhouse, but I mean, you know,
still.
Give it something. Wow, this game looks fun. Do I have this?
Flying Shark?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same game as Sky Shark, so Sky Shark's fun too.
No, it is most definitely not.
Yes, it is. It's fun. Nope. Yeah, it is.
It's a stripped-down, ugly version.
I'd still rather play it than Space Channel 5. I don't even understand what's going on.
It's a rhythm game. What do you mean?
What does that mean, a rhythm game?
You're dancing.
I have to, like, shake my hips in a certain fashion?
If you want to.
If I want to dance, I would dance, but I don't want to play on a phone. I want to play a video game.
I want to play on the phone.
You don't want to play Snake?
No,
Jason, I don't.
Snake, Jason.
I don't want to play Snake. I don't want to play Space Channel 5. Basically, if a game starts with S, I don't want to play it tonight.
Which would also... count Sky Shark, right?
Yeah.
Ergo, there's actually two S's because... in that game, in that title.
There's a stupid joke. I apologize. I take it back. I retract it. Never mind. I'm sorry.
Ouch.
Yeah.
You just said you didn't want to play your own game.
Well, at least we all agree on something. We don't want to play Bailey's game.
Nice. Okay. That was good. Yeah, that was good.
So Space Channel 5, are you just using the D-pad? The whole time.
And the A and B buttons.
Kind of like Sky Shark. I'm just saying.
All right. You win that round. You win that round.
The legend.
No, I thought you were something else. No, I thought you were the Punisher.
I was going with the... Well, I was just doing the Punisher for that episode because I picked the Punisher.
Oh, I really like...
Do you think I should remain the Punisher? I mean, I'd be okay with that. I like the Punisher.
I mean, it was really cool when you were saying it. Like, when you really...
The Punisher!
When you really got into it. So. All
right. I'll see. So you don't like the legend? Just the
pop. The legend is, you know, the legend of what? You know, usually it's the Punisher. It's like, it doesn't matter. It's all about pain. You know what I mean?
That's true. That's actually a really good point. Well, screw legend. I'm going Punisher all the way now.
All the way.
Jason, what's your nickname anyway? What's your superhero nickname or supervillain?
The Canadian.
Yes, the Canadian.
He represents an entire country of people.
Yes.
That's kind of strange. Is the character's name really Ulala?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
U-L-A-L-A.
You know, maybe this news channel 5 would have better ratings if they would actually have journalism instead of dancing. You know, I mean, if they had hard-hitting reports on current events rather than just gyrating their hips everywhere.
Well, no, that's exactly what's going on. Is she's covering the whole alien abduction thing, and she's actually beating the aliens back by dancing. That's the ultimate weapon, is dance.
Okay, I want you to say that sentence again, write it down as you're saying it, read it to yourself, and ask, how absurd does this sound?
It's in the future, Bailey.
Oh, that makes it okay.
We have no idea what's going on in the next 100 years. I mean, come on. Dance could be a big thing. It could be a very powerful weapon.
Against the invading aliens.
Haven't you seen Footloose?
That's not in the future, my friend. That is in the past.
I know, but I was trying to make the connection.
Kevin Bacon. The worst part is this is on Steam.
Is it really? Awesome. You should buy it. How much is it?
Its sequel is on Steam.
How much is it?
You can get Space Channel 5 Part 2 for $8.95.
Oh, that's cheap. Go get it right now, everybody.
Or you can buy the Dreamcast collection for $29.99.
Wow. Wow. I think that's a win.
I'm not buying it.
I think that's a win for everybody.
I think that's a waste of $10.
I'm going to find someone who wants to buy it and convince them not to.
Done.
It's motion carries.
All right. Final arguments. Hunter, why should any listener vote for Space Channel 5 in the Retro Showdown poll?
Space Channel 5 is a fun, unique game for its time. And it's a lot of... You can get it on Steam for very cheap. I recommend you do that right now.
Oh. Jason, why should anyone vote for Ken's Labyrinth in the Retro Showdown poll on the podcast page?
It's a fantastic early shooter that isn't extremely serious compared to Wolfenstein and Doom at the time. It's got a lot of features that weren't present in other games, such as interactive sprites and textures and a money system. And it's generally just a lot of fun. And it's not Space Channel 5. Or the Shark game.
Oh, hey. Hey.
I'm not sure which one.
Well, okay. I'll say this about Sky Shark. If you're not into challenging shoot 'em ups, probably not your thing. But if you actually like having fun, that's why you should vote for Sky Shark. It is the most fun game of the three by far. By far. So, vote for Sky Shark. Quick shout outs for Ben Landis for the intro and outro tracks, and for Pixel Hate for the interlude track. Again, you can download that on the podcast page. And remember, you can email us at podcast@onemorecastle.com. Feel free to do that after you voted in the poll and left a comment on the page as well. Hunter, you have any shout-outs tonight?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter, and you can check out my articles on the video game hardcore at officialvghc.com.
Sweet. Jason, shout-outs?
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lam, and I'll give a shout out to the nation of England.
I'm coming for you.
Next week I will be inside of you.
Alright, cool. I have no shoutouts tonight. I'll get around to being nice and actually doing that someday. But if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at Nintendo_legend. That's right, I'm the guy with the underscore. And this has been a fun episode because this was really rant-tacular. We got on a lot of rants, but hey, as long as the listeners keep seeming to like it, we're going to keep on getting off topic. Always fun to hang out with these two guys for some discussion. But listeners, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!